This morning, we assemble here to worship our God, our great, wonderful God. And as we spend some time during this period, we're going to learn a little bit more about that God. We're going to look at some of the omnis of God, the omnipotence of God, Him being all-powerful, the omniscience of God, all-knowing, omnipresent, and the all-loving nature of God. And as we do that, you know, here in this congregation, we have a great group of young people that we're blessed to have, and there's lots of ways that we can be involved with them and helping them as they grow and grow in their knowledge of Christ. And for this hour, some of our young men are going to stand before you and lead some thoughts, some talks from God's Word, as well as lead a couple songs on this idea of the great God that we have. Thank everyone for being here this morning to both encourage these young men as they stand before us, as well as be encouraged by them during this hour, and also thankful for the elders for scheduling times like this that that we can help grow our young people in this way. So at this time, I'm going to turn the services over. You'll be able to follow along as we go through this hour.
Good morning. My lesson will be on God's omnipotence. To start, please turn to Jeremiah 32:17. Jeremiah 32:17 reads, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." This verse emphasizes God's omnipotence, or his ability to do anything, and is a good starting point for this lesson. In this lesson, we will begin by looking at what it means to be omnipotent and what man's response to God's omnipotence needs to be. We will begin by looking at God's power to create. In my opinion, this is best portrayed in Genesis 1:1-3, where the point is made that God created everything by merely speaking it into existence. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now we will look at God's power over the laws of time and nature. We can witness this ability in 2 Kings 20:10. 2 Kings 20:10-11 states, "And Hezekiah answered, 'It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees.' So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz." Now please turn to 1 Kings 17:21, where we'll find a perfect example of God having control over not just life, as we see in Genesis when he created Adam and Eve, but over power over death as well. 1 Kings 17:21-22 states, "Then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray to you, let the child's life return to him.' The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived." In this verse, Elijah calls upon the Lord to revive the life of the child, showing that God has power over even life and death. Next, please turn to Daniel 6:22. Daniel 6:22 says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." This verse demonstrates God's ability to even control wild animals easily. Now that we've looked at examples of God's omnipotence, we will turn our attention to the response man should have towards God's omnipotence. Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 really emphasizes the importance of fearing the Lord and explains the foundation of knowledge. This verse states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." This verse shows that fearing the Lord and having an understanding of God's omnipotence shapes how we see the world around us and man's purpose on the earth. For example, looking at the world around us and coming to the conclusion that the Big Bang and natural processes brought us into existence, versus having an understanding of God's omnipotence and seeing that he is the creator. This helps us to understand what happened to Job and man's place in relation to God. During Job's trials, he asked to plead his case to God. In Job 38, we see God's response to Job, but instead of God agreeing that Job did nothing wrong, he asked if Job understands the vastness of God's power. Please turn to Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is it that darkens the counsel by the by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you will instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who set its measurements? Since you know, or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when, bursting forth, it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt in doors, and I said, 'Thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop.'" This is a great example of God's superiority over man. God never explained to Job why he suffered the things he did. Instead, he only told Job of his power, which is the reason man needs to serve God. Therefore, because of God's omnipotence and the fact that he created everything, man's purpose is to serve God.
We'll be singing "Behold Our God," only verses 1 and 2.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has loved every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Would turn your Bibles to the 147th Psalm. Today I want to talk about God and his omniscience, more commonly known as all-knowing. Now, let's read Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5. He determines the number of the stars, and he gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. First, let's look at verse 4. He determines the number of the stars. That's basically saying that he can count all the stars. He gives them all their names. Coming back to the idea of God being all-knowing, he knows all of the stars' names. He knows everything about them because he created them. Now on to the fifth verse. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. That is telling us that God's understanding is better than ours. Let's look at some examples of omniscience. We're not going to take the time to read these verses, but Psalm 139, verse 4 tells us that God knows our words before we say them. Jeremiah 1:5 lets us know that before we were born, God knew us. Every bad thing I think or do, God knows. Even with knowing how bad we are, he still sent his one and only Son to die so that we can have a home in heaven. Here's another example. Jonah thought he could hide from God. He went the complete opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. He ended up in the belly of a great fish that was prepared just for him by God. He spent 3 days praying in the belly of that fish. The King James Version says that the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Gross. Jonah ended up in a mess and couldn't hide from God. Has there been a time when you have been tempted to hide from God? We should be trying to live our lives where we are trying to find God, not hide from God. To finish up, let's read Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Like David, we need to ask God to search our hearts. Sometimes our hearts will be good, sometimes not. We should respond in a humble heart, knowing that the God who knows everything is guiding us through our lives. Thank you.
This morning, I'm going to talk about how God is all present. Turn to Jeremiah 23:24 reads, "Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and the earth? Declares the Lord." So he fills the heaven and the earth. If he is all over the place, then he can see all those of us too. So it is clear you cannot hide yourself from the Lord. He is everywhere or all present, but sometimes we need some ways to find him. God is always with us, even when we are sad, mad, or depressed. Jeremiah 23 made it clear you cannot hide from God, but he does not hide from you either. Let me explain. If you are having a hard time, just know he is here. I know that it does not feel like he is here sometimes, but he is. I know. How do I know? Well, in Psalms 139, I'm not going to read the whole thing, verse 11 through 12, it reads, "If I say to you, surely, that the darkness will hide me and the light will shine like the day, the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like the day, for darkness is a light to you." This means, even in the darkest times, God is there. Everyone has hard times. What if you feel like there is nothing good in life? Well, if you feel like there's nothing good in life, that's Satan getting in your head, because we have lots of good things. I mean, even when things seem dark, God is there, and you can always help people. That makes me feel better, and we can always praise God. You can find God in prayer and in songs. When we are feeling distant from God, prayer is a great way to realize how close he actually is. Songs like prayer can help you get closer to God also. So if you try to find God either physically or spiritually, if you find him physically, that's in Jesus. Now, you can't find Jesus physically until when he comes back to judge the world. There's two ways to seek him spiritually, though. The first way is you can just know he's everywhere. Although, the main way to see him is by reading about him in the Bible and obeying him and trusting him. In conclusion, God is all present spiritually. We cannot hide from him or run from him. Not even fly in a rocket. He will still always be here. Also, he can hear us and read our mind, so we should not run, hide, say, or even think anything bad. Also, he is always with us when we are sad, mad, or depressed, so we are never alone. Thank you for your time.
We'll be singing number one in the song.
You are beautiful beyond description. Oh.
Good morning. Today I'll be talking about God's everlasting love. I'm sure we all know that God loves us, but what did he say about love and how to love? Let's read John 15:12. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. In this verse, he tells us that we need to take his love and use it to love other people like he has loved us. If we say that we love God, but we don't love a friend or family, we don't love God. Let's read 1 John 4:20. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Next, I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 16:14. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you have done be done in love. When reading this verse, it makes me think about giving back to the Lord. Some people may not be happy when they're giving, but in this verse it says we need to do everything in love. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 8. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that he always has all sufficiency in everything, and you have an abundance for every good deed. In 1 John 4:16, it talks about if we love God, we abide in him, and he will abide in us. But what if we don't love God? Let's read 1 Corinthians 13:2. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. For context, this is Paul saying that even with spiritual powers, and you can do amazing things, if you do it without love, it means nothing, or says, I am nothing. We can't go to heaven without love. Now I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. To point out another thing, this chapter is called the Way of Love. Let's read 3 through 8 and verse 13. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love is not brag, and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, it is not provoked, and does not take into account of wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues that will cease, there is knowledge, it will be done away. Now let's read verse 13. But now faith, hope, love, abide these things three, but the greatest of these is love. I find it hard to be patient sometimes, but in these verses, it says love is patient and not rude. Sometimes it can be really hard, but these verses can help a lot by reminding us that God is patient and loving, and we need to strive to be like him. The next point I'll be talking about is how great God's love is. There's really no one answer to this question, as you can't really explain or describe how great his love is. Let's read Psalms 36:5-7. Psalms 36:5-7. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. And the children of men, take refuge in the shadow of your wings. While reading this verse, I came across the word steadfast. I've heard it a lot, never truly looked at what it means. It means standing firm or unwavering. Now that I knew what it meant, I could really understand what this verse is talking about. God's love reaches up into the heavens and down to the deepest valleys. And it'll always be like that. My last point is, I would like to talk about Jesus dying on the cross. God allowed his only son to die, which is the ultimate example of the steadfast love that God gives to each of us. Let's read Romans 5:5-6. Romans 5:5-6. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we are still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. To sum up this lesson, God loves us all. We, in our human mind, cannot fully understand how much he truly loves us. He will never stop loving us. To end, I would like to say a prayer. Please bow with me. Dear God, thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for loving us and giving us examples and opportunities to love others. Please let us do what you have told us to do, to love others and be patient with others. Please let us have a good worship service, and thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.